Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to School of Human Potential Radio. I am your host, Alan Weisberg. And tonight, like all the evenings, we try to get you in contact with wonderful people from around the globe who are doing something interesting in the areas of mind or areas of body or area of spirit. And tonight we have such a guest. We'll be interviewing Melissa Heisler in just a moment. She's a stress reduction expert, and she's about to release a book, From Type A to Type Me, How to Stop Doing Your Life and Start Living It. And that topic certainly is of big interest to me, and I've known Melissa for a little while, and I'm very impressed, so I wanted to bring her on so you can learn from her expertise. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Alan. I'm excited to be talking about this tonight.
It's my pleasure, and I love in the title, you know, how to stop doing your life and start living it. Based on my own motto, live your essence. It's certainly very much in line with what it is that I'm trying to do with my life. So I appreciate you coming out and writing about it.
Absolutely. I know we've had that discussion before that talking about the experience of our life is so much more important than a lot of the doing that we do, a lot of the things that get in the way, actually, of us living and experiencing our life.
I know. Maybe we shouldn't be like Nike, and we shouldn't just do it. We should just live it. Maybe that'll be our new tagline. We can create shoes and everything.
I think that's a great idea. I think you should start copywriting that right away.
I certainly will. Well, this program is copyrighted, so I think we're okay there. So for those people who are not familiar with you, do you want to give them a little bit of a background on who you are and what led you to Type Me?
Absolutely. I'm what I call a recovering type A. I've been a type A for as long as I can remember. Once I got into the workforce, I spent 10 years managing and directing theatrical productions, and then went actually into corporate America in marketing for 17 years. And both of those positions were really high stress, high pressure, deadline driven positions. And at the time, that's how I thought things had to be. And I would get into the deadlines, and I really had my life around my work. The problem was that it led to my ill health mentally and physically. And I actually had a period of a few years where I spent all this time trying to go to different Western medicine doctors to find out what was wrong, and went through a whole series trying to find why I was feeling like I did, because I was completely in pain and was having a bunch of other issues, but none of those doctors could really say what was happening. And finally, one of them wanted to actually give me a hysterectomy, saying that it might help.
And it might help. We're not certain, but I think what's wrong with you, something can be fixed with a hysterectomy. Got it.
So I kind of had the same reaction. Yeah. And that led to my search then. I was really not into alternative medicine and alternative healing, but at that point I had given up. And so I looked for other things. I tried acupuncture, Reiki. I tried almost everything else. And sometimes I would feel some relief, but then the symptoms came back. Mm. And finally, in utter desperation, I ended up 3,000 miles away and worked with a shaman in Peru. Hmm. And it was an amazing story about the experience I had there. But really, the thing that clicked for me was, so after the 10 days down there, I felt incredible. The pain was gone. The mental clarity was back. I mean, I hadn't felt that good in probably decades. Wow. And it was amazing. But what really got me was by the when I landed in Miami, within a minutes, all of the pain started to come back. And that's when it really clicked for me that it wasn't something wrong with me. It was something wrong with how I was acting, believing, and living my life. And so that started my path to really find out how can I feel like I did in Peru, but to do it in our American culture. And that's what led me to realize and uncover that this is really the stress of doing my life and being led by my life and led by my to-dos. And through the process, I developed the Type Me habits that helped me to actually start living my life. And it was an amazing process.
And just to follow up on that, how long ago was Peru?
That was over 7 years ago now, I believe.
And do you have any pain? How's the clarity? Has all of that stabilized?
I like you using the word stabilize. I'm not one of those people who are going to say, learn my techniques and your life will be perfect forever, because it won't. I don't believe anyone who says that. Now, I do know that my health is amazingly improved and I can't complain and itch about what's going on, but I also do know I'm human. And so I have good days and bad days, and there's days that I'm great with my Type Me habits and there's days that I'm not. And so there are some still ups and downs and changes, but there's changes in the season too. But I would say overall my entire quality of life has ultimately changed for the better.
Well, and I'm very happy to hear that. And thank you. Again, I know so many people are taught to search for that perfection, and that leads to all sorts of problems. I think the perfection, at least in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but perfection is not what we think. The perfection is the process. And if you find perfection in the process, then you found it. Searching for perfection in the execution of something or the end result of something is what gets us into trouble.
Absolutely. I agree. And the terms that I use are the focus on the outcome, and you're saying the focus on the perfectionism, but the focus on the outcome or the result is what gets us into trouble. And when we can actually be in the moment experiencing life, becoming who we are, which may be perfect, imperfect, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever term we want to put on it, but being there is where the joy is. The focus on the results are where the pain is.
Yeah. That's I found that too, because in life in general, from early age, life is all about competition and be the best and strive to be the best. And it's not really about enjoying yourself in the process of doing it, but seeing if you can win that prize, or get that math score, or land that job, or get the boyfriend, or whatever it is. And when we don't, and we realize that we've spent all of this time trying to get to a certain goal and it did not happen, or it happened but it still did not make us happy, healthy, or wise, then you have the pain that comes along with it and the regrets. So enjoy the process. Be in the now, and future will take care of itself.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing, when we look at the results only, it's like we wait, well, as soon as I have this new job or the new spouse or the new house or whatever it is that, or I'm on American Idol, as soon as this happens, then I will have joy. I will have happiness. I will have health. And so we delay our joy because we're tying it to some outside factor that we've determined will give us joy. When in fact, in each and every moment, we can choose joy and we can choose good health and we can choose enjoying our life, but we need to do it in that moment.
Very true, because anytime that you're focusing on the end result, you're living in the future. Anytime that you're already there regretting what happened, you're living in the past. Nobody ever lives in the moment if they are only focused on the end result. And being in the moment is what we should all be striving to do, because that's where you find the answers, that's where you find the health, and that's where you find all of the things that we're striving to do.
And that's where we actually have control And I know a lot of the type A's that I work with are all about control, and they're trying to control the results or the end goal. But in fact, the only thing that can control in that moment is how they think, believe, and act and react. And so if we can change the way we think about control, about trying to, you know, taking blame for trying to control events that we can't control or control outcomes that we really can't control, but instead focus on the one thing we can control, which is ourselves, and to have awareness of what we're doing, and then to make conscious choices to change our beliefs and thoughts and words and actions and reactions.
Very true. And just one last kind of visualization for this particular purpose of being in the moment. U.S. Open, the tennis tournament is going on right now. And watching Federer. And I went to Cincinnati, the prior tournament, which was a big tune-up for U.S. Open. And we're watching Federer practice. But watch him on television or watch any of the greats. And you see that when they're hitting the shot, their eyes are on the ball. Their eyes are on the racket. They hit the shot. Their eyes are still on the racket. And you would think that they would be focused on where the ball is going. No, they're not. They're focusing on hitting the ball. And if they do it the right way, the ball will end up where it should. So they're not focused on the end result. They're focused on being in that moment, visualizing hitting the ball, and then the future takes care of itself. So that could be an exercise for everybody as you're watching the next couple of weeks.
I think that's a great exercise. And it's not just being in the moment, but it's also doing the best you can in that moment and being completely absorbed with whatever it is that you're doing in that moment versus being distracted by either thoughts or worries or other to-dos that we think we need to do, but being one with what it is that you're trying to accomplish in that moment.
Yeah, the beautiful 15-year-old girl that was a wild card entry into the U.S. Open, U.S. girl that just won and beat the number 12 seed in the world. And she basically, when interviewed, she was saying, well, there are only two ways of looking at it. You're either going to go for it and you lose, or you're going to go for it and you win. And not going for it, you're going to lose already. So just be in the moment, be yourself, enjoy it, hit as much as you can, do your best, and then see what happens.
And she absolutely wasn't tied on the outcome. She was tied on her effort and actually doing what it is that she's passionate about and doing it 100%. That's beautiful.
Yep. All right. Getting back to the type A's. So you came back from Peru. You started working on that or on yourself and recovering from being a type A and going into type me. So when you're discussing type me, what does that actually mean to you in terms of definition?
Well, type me is who you are truly and authentically. Mm-hmm. It's really what makes you happy at a core. And I know this is very difficult for a lot of type A's. It's also very difficult for many of us because there's so much coming from the outside telling us how we should be or have to be, or if we want to be successful, we need to do this, or all of our peers are doing this, or our family has already always done it this way. And so there's all this stuff telling us what we should be, and usually that causes stress for us. So part of type me is actually getting back to our inner self and really what brings us joy and makes us happy and maybe is what's quirky about us, maybe what's quote-unquote imperfect about us, and truly embracing that authentic self. And so it's that way to be yourself all the time. And just like we talked about, it's about being it in the moment. But it's also finding that power and that control by knowing what it is that's true for you. It's amazing to me, you know, when I thought that I needed to be something else, and I think a lot of your listeners can hopefully resonate with this, but you know, when we think we have to do something in order to be successful, you know, we have to go on Blog Talk Radio in order to be successful or be on the radio station. But if it makes us feel sick inside, if we don't like discussing things on the radio, no amount of effort is going to make that a success for us. So it's understanding that there may be other ways to be successful. There may be other ways to be happy that are unique to us. And it's accepting those and then going with the flow with them. And it's amazing, the more you get in your type me, the more things just kind of line up because you're not pushing on them. You're actually in alignment with your authentic self and your authentic purpose.
Yeah, and we keep on talking. I think this is the third program in which we're mentioning the same point. But if we look at our lives, there are, you know, three main stages. Us as children, us as adults, and us as the elderly. When we're children, we don't really care about what other people think. We're just in awe of what's happening in the world. We're very authentic. We're ourselves. When we're elderly, we could care less what anybody else thinks of us because we are who we are, and you know they can go do whatever they want. And we're just being authentic ourselves. But the biggest part of our life is growing up and being the adults and going into the elderly, or before we turn into the elderly. We keep on worrying about what everybody else thinks of us. And we're trying to live up to somebody else's standards. We're focusing on that instead of being who we are. Why do we have to wait 60, 70 years in order not to care about what anybody else thinks? Let's continue being that innocence with the wisdom of the years throughout our lives. Let's do that. And I think that'll be a much better place for us to be as a society.
I agree completely. And as you were talking, I think the reason why we lose that when we're adults is because we have responsibilities, or the assumption that we have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we start playing by somebody else's rules. Oh, if you have a mortgage, you need to make this much money, so you have to be in this job. You know, so all of a sudden we start playing somebody else's game versus saying, you know, I'm going to stay true to myself. This is what I love to do. And I'm going to have the trust that I'll be able to own the things that I want to and eat the things I need to eat and that I'll be taken care of. But I think there's something in adulthood that we're kind of taught that, no, you've got to all of a sudden go on to this certain tract in order to survive.
Yeah. And I said something which I never thought was controversial, but people were looking at me thinking that I am just stirring the pot. I said that any profession you choose, you can be a millionaire at. And people thought, well, that's not the case. And we kept on going example by example by example. And I've shown that any profession, if you choose to, you can be a millionaire at. So it's not really difficult to do that if you really put your mind to it and if that's what your focus is on. As long as you're professional at something, you love doing it, this is what you wish to do with your free time, not just with your work time, then you can be rich. So don't worry about, I have to be in this job or this job. You be yourself. And then being yourself will allow you to open up all sorts of doors, which can lead to financial results if that's what you're seeking.
And I'm glad you say if that's what you're seeking, because I think that's one of my soapboxes right now for the self-help, self-improvement industry, is that it's all about, let's make $1 million or you can be a billionaire.
Yep.
And you know, me personally, if I could eat at my dollar taco stand every night, that would make me happy. I don't need to have $1 million to do that. So that's part of type me as well, is really defining or redefining what success means to you. And maybe it means $1 million, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but it may mean something completely different. And so uncovering that and accepting that about you, and accepting your success versus what society says success is, can be incredibly powerful, because all of a sudden you've let go of all of that baggage that society tells you you need to be.
I know, and that whole definition of success, when I'm a man, sure, I'm expected to go out in the workplace and provide for the family and all that, you know, standard stuff. But I'm looking at women who stay at home, who spend their life being that for their, you know, for their family, raising their children. They're not making any money. Does that make them any less of a success than a man who goes out and works? Obviously not. So it's really just a definition of the success. And we cannot assign a dollar value to success. And if you do, then you'll be unhappy, because then you'll always be, you know, comparing yourself to somebody else. To the people who think that the world is measured by comparison, It is, but not in the way that you think about it. It's not comparing yourself to somebody else. It's comparing yourself to yourself. You know, is this what I choose to do? If you do, do it. If this is what I don't choose to do, then don't do it. You're always comparing. You're always looking at what is good and what is not good for you at that particular moment. That's what you're comparing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's really knowing what it is that brings you joy, that brings you happiness, that's your definition of success, and seeing how close are you getting to that. I think when money gets involved, it becomes an outcome because there are things we can do to move towards it, but there's so much that's beyond our control in that sphere. And so if we're tied only to the dollar figure, there's going to be disappointment. Or I think when we get to the outcome, whether it's money or something else, there's also we're losing our own self-worth. So when we tie our success to something outside of ourself, then we're losing who we are. There was actually a really great study recently with children, and it's a long story, so I'll try to give the Reader's Digest, but they were given puzzles to do. Mm-hmm. And some of the children, they said, "You're really smart," when they got the puzzle right. And to other children, they said, "You showed great effort. You got the puzzle right." And then when they gave the new puzzle, a harder puzzle to the children, the ones who were told they were smart didn't give as much effort and were actually afraid. They wanted to choose an easier puzzle because being labeled as smart is outside of ourself. Being recognized for our effort is within ourself. And those children were the ones who wanted to try harder and harder puzzles, even if they didn't get them right.
Yeah. You know, all of the you know, sports parents that are listening to us right now that are potentially throwing up because they're so against everybody getting the participation award, they need to reevaluate things a little bit, because there is nothing wrong with participation award. Just because you don't win does not mean that you're not succeeding. Not everybody's going to win. As a matter of fact, only a few people will win in any race or event. Everybody is making the participation, or everybody is making their effort to whatever level that they can muster. And to be successful in life, it's not the winners who are successful. It's the people who actually understand the journey and love themselves doing it.
Well, that's even redefining what winner is. I mean, there's the person who is the fastest through the race, and then there's also the person who did the race at 65 years old and did their first one and was able to finish it. Yep. That would be a winner to me as well. So we really need to look at these absolutes that we've created: winners, success, you know, financially secure, whatever these big labels are that we put on things, kind of block us from seeing our own inherent worth and our own inherent effort, and actually the joy that we then have to go through that effort and to find those things that will bring us joy throughout the day.
Yeah, it's just to finish off that thought, and I agree with what you just mentioned, but for us to say that one person is more of a winner versus somebody else is not right. There is nobody that can define who the winner is except for you. So it's not that the person winning the race is less of a winner than the 65-year-old that just ran it. Both of them are winners. And that's the point. The point is, define your own success. Define what makes sense to you. Be comfortable with who you are. And then you are successful. And everything else will follow from that. When we're speaking about money, and you know, I saw a quote from Jim Carrey, who said, "I wish everybody could achieve the level of fame and financial success and get everything that they wanted for, just to realize at the top that it's not all it's cracked up to be. And it's not the end to all the things that you ever wanted." I'm paraphrasing, but the point is, just because you are rich and famous does not mean that you're happy, does not mean that that gives you everything that you always wanted in life.
My good friend always said, if money can solve your problems, you have no problems.
That's so very true.
Yeah. So when you look at it, that's only one small portion. I think you're right. I think, and my heart goes out to the Williams family, but I think Robin Williams showed this to us as well, is that the appearance of celebrity and success is just that. It's an appearance. And yeah. what the individual is really going through can be completely different than that persona that they put out in public. So this goes back to finding your type me. If your type me is to be a celebrity, great, go for it. If your type me is to have a rock band in your garage, you know, go for it. Play around on the weekends if that's what makes your heart sing. Both of those are success in your individual lives based on your type me and what it is that's really meaningful to you.
Very true. And what I also want to add, because I think some people may misunderstand, is once you find type me, and once you understand who you are, that does not mean you stop working on yourself and you just accept yourself for who you are and you're okay with that and you don't want to grow from there. That's not what it means at all. That just means that you accept yourself and then you continue working from there instead of saying that I am not good enough and always striving to be better and not liking yourself during that process.
Right, exactly. And nothing in life everything in life changes. You know, mm-hmm. everything in nature changes. So if once we stop growing, we're dead. So yes, knowing your type me is an unfolding flower. You know, you'll learn one aspect of it, but as things change in your life, as your experiences change, as your relationships change, as where you live in the world changes, you're going to change and develop and grow as well. There'll be a through line with it that you'll be able to see. It's not hard and fast, but there will be certain elements that will travel with you. And there'll also be, and this is so important in why there's type me habits, the habits of awareness, acceptance, alternatives, and action, but those are there to help us through that growth. They're there when, you know, we kind of, you know, maybe there's an illness in the family or you have to change jobs or there's something else that disrupts your life, good or bad, that we need to adjust to that. And so the type me habits are about taking that journey and traveling that road so that you can stay true to your type me, even in a changing world and environment and everything around you.
Yeah. And that's something that I want to continue talking about. Once we come back from the break, is those daily habits. What can people do? How can they find the balance in their life that they're seeking? And how can they switch from type A to type me? For anybody who wants to talk to us live, please call in at 888-429-5471, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Alan Vaisberg, founder of School of Human Potential. To help you determine if it is the right thing for you, I'd like to ask you a few simple questions. Do you consider yourself a hardworking, educated, well-informed individual? If so, do you ever find yourself in a situation that you wish you were better prepared for, such as holding your own in a conversation at an art museum or a concert hall? Managing stress? Parenting? Physical confrontation? Or in bed? Truth is, being a well-rounded individual who's prepared for life's many challenges is difficult in our day and age. We are much too busy working, raising families, and trying to carve out a few moments of peace, let alone worry about becoming self-actualized. We get it. The reason for starting the School of Human Potential was to help people like you become well-rounded and self-actualized without taking a lot of time or money. We found and filmed world-renowned experts and put their knowledge into easily accessible online courses spanning various topics of mind, body, and spirit. You can go at your own pace and access them on any device. By taking the courses, here are some of the benefits you can expect. You will broaden your horizons and deepen your understanding of the world and yourself. You will hold your own in a cultural conversation. You'll be able to protect yourself and your loved ones in a life-threatening situation. You'll find peace and meaning in your life. You'll become a better spouse, partner, and lover. You'll be fit, healthy, and financially secure. But if that's not enough, know that the majority of the courses at School of Human Potential are exclusive. You simply won't find them anywhere else. And here's the most amazing part. Outside of the School of Human Potential, you would expect to pay thousands of dollars for this information, and spend countless hours learning it. However, when you enroll with us, you will pay less than $100 per course, and each one takes up to 8 hours. To start, go to www.schoolhp.com. Our hope is that you allow us to take you on a journey leading to a new and improved you. Here's to you reaching your full potential.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
Welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. We're speaking with Melissa Heisler about how to, stop doing your life and start living your life. And we've talked a lot about the stressors, and we've talked about what type me is. And right before the break, we started talking about the habits of type me people. Tell us more about these habits. I know you have daily habits as well. Can you expand on that, please?
Yeah, these are actually the daily habits. And I want to be first very clear that these, like type me, are unique to you. So The way that I've created them or uncovered them, really, was that there are four different buckets. It's of awareness, acceptance, alternatives, and action. And it's important for each one of us to find the unique habits that work for us within each of those pieces of the framework. So the habits usually start out with awareness. And it's amazing how we go through our life and are so unaware of what is actually going on with us. And if you've ever, driven home and missed your turnoff because you were thinking of something else, you know how unaware we can be. And so within awareness, it's becoming aware of our thoughts. It's becoming aware of our beliefs. It's becoming aware of how foods affect us, how maybe we have some addictive behaviors or where we go when we're stressed. And what's really important with awareness is not only that we become aware of these things, but that we do that objectively and without judgment. Because I think a lot of times what happens is that, oh my gosh, I'm doing this again, and we start beating ourselves up. And the true key of awareness is really just to be a detective or an anthropologist in our life and to see what we're doing, to see what behaviors we have and what's helping us and what's hurting us. And not to judge it, but just to become aware of it.
Yeah.
And then the next piece of the framework of the type me habits is acceptance. And this one can be really tough on people because a lot of times they'll see acceptance as giving in, or that you need to stay in a bad relationship, or that you have to forgive people that are rude to you or mean or horrible things that have happened in your life. And really, acceptance is freeing yourself. It's freeing yourself from the pain that you've felt before. It's freeing yourself from the ties to people who are maybe toxic to you. And it's done in a way where you're releasing them of it. It's not saying it was okay what they did, but it's releasing them and actually releasing yourself from that pain. And acceptance is also the acceptance of ourself. This is where we get into that our unique type me and saying that our type me is okay. And even if we have done bad things in the past, or we have something that society doesn't approve, or we've done silly things in the past, that we accept all those things as ourself so that we can begin to move forward. And then the next part of the Type Me habits, and these, they're not sequential. This is something that every day these things can come up. But by being aware, by having acceptance of what reality truly is, then all of a sudden alternatives come to us. And I think a lot of the stress that we feel is that we live in a very black and white world. Either we're successful or not, we're not. We're blue collar or we're white collar. We're Republican or we're Democrat. And it's just black and white, and we get stuck in it. We get stuck in these labels. And when we can really have awareness and acceptance, all of a sudden more alternatives become available to us. You know, a great story is when people say, you know, oh, I really hate my job, but I can't quit, or we'll be out on the streets. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of space between staying in a horrible job that you don't love and being out on the streets. And so it could mean moving into a different position in the company, you know, having a different manager. It may mean changing jobs. There's a whole mess of different layers in there, different opportunities, different alternatives besides just becoming homeless. And so through awareness and acceptance, we get these alternatives then that we can choose and that we can embrace. And the final element of the habits is action. And this is really the heart of the Type Me habits. This is where we find gratitude for the things that we have in our life versus looking at those things that we don't have. This is having a patience with ourselves through the up and down and the changes of our lives. This is where we are committed to being in that moment throughout the day, each and every moment, and making choices, conscious choices in our lives. And I think that's really what an obstacle to many of the programs and processes that we have. You know, you'll go to a great retreat, you'll read a great book, and you go, oh, that's really, really great information. And then you put it on your bookshelf, and you go back to your normal habits. And so action, the framework of action really helps you to integrate the behaviors and habits that you choose that are helpful to you into your life so that you can continually have, you know, the best days that you can, and to create a foundation for when there is a major life stressor that you can deal with it without massively going back into those bad habits. And so it's kind of your support system. So altogether, the Type Me habits of awareness, acceptance, alternatives, and action can help give us that foundation to a different way to live consciously and purposefully versus reactionary.
Very nice. I really, really like those four, and certainly agree with them, and have been doing my best to apply them to my life. So I know they work. Another question I wanted to ask you. I know in reading about your book, which by the way is coming out very soon, September 15th. So early congrats on that. Very, very nicely done. How can people who are type A people deal with difficulty at work? And by difficulty, I'm more emphasizing the difficult people at work that we all have to deal with. What would be a good way, and a way that your book may teach, of switching into the type me and dealing with those difficult people?
Well, the first step is the acceptance part. I think a lot of the stress that we feel when we have a difficult person is that we want them to act differently than they are. And I always say, pain and stress comes from expecting a dog to be a cat. A dog is going to be a dog. So if your boss is somebody who yells, if your coworker doesn't do his work, you know, whatever that difficult person is, you're only causing yourself more stress by thinking they should be differently. If they could or wanted to be different, they would be. At this point, in this moment, they are as they are. And if you can accept that, it then opens up to new alternatives that you can look at. I had a client I was working with, and there was somebody she worked with that always took credit for her work and was obviously it was something that she was very upset about. But the story she told herself was, why is he doing this to me? You know, why is he taking credit? Why is he trying to ruin my career? Why is he trying to put me down? And so first we had to accept that, okay, this is a person who's taking credit for other people's work, which we didn't say was proper, but we had to accept that that was the truth. And then the next thing we did was to remove her assumptions and emotion from the situation. She really had no proof that he was doing it as a purposeful attack against her. And when she could take away the emotion that she felt, feeling that she was attacked, she then gained clarity that it wasn't that he was attacking her. He was actually afraid of losing his job. And so he was trying to take credit for things to make it to protect his job. And again, we agreed that wasn't really a great tactic, but uncovering that truth, she could then find ways to work with this individual. And she could do it from a place without emotion, without stress, without that ugly conflict that people get.
Very interesting. I like that example. Yeah, it's it resonates. It certainly does. So I'm glad that worked for your client. Yeah, taking emotion out of it is hard because we all have our triggers, and you know, at work where we're, again, we're type A or not, but we want to be successful. There is money, there is our prestige, there are so many things that are tied to it. And then when somebody is standing in our way and they're being malicious, or at least in the way that it may seem, they're being malicious in their intent, taking emotion out of it is a hard thing. So what I do is I always ask people a question. If somebody tells you that you're stupid, do you take it in an emotional way or not? And people say, yeah, of course I take it in an emotional way. Somebody tells me I'm stupid, I'm upset. And I ask them the question of why. Do you think that you're stupid? No. So why would somebody saying you're stupid make that effect on you? What if somebody was saying you're stupid in a language that you couldn't understand? Will that have an effect on you? No. So there are really two answers. If you agree that you're stupid, there is no sense in arguing that because they're just stating the truth. And if you disagree, what difference does it make if they think that or they say that you're stupid? So take emotion out of it, and that can help you in many situations in life.
Absolutely. And I think that the example you give also shows that we give other people more credit than we give ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're giving our power away to somebody else who has some judgment against us. And what's really interesting, too, is if we really look at it, the people that we feel attacked by, if you really ask, do you value this person's opinion? The answer is usually no.
Yep.
But we think that we have to, or we think that somehow they have more power or vision than we do. And so we take on something that we really don't agree with.
Yep.
And then I think the other half of it is what our own perception is, what our own thoughts are, that when we get really emotional, we're tying something else to it. One of the examples I give as far as emotion and how we create emotion is, imagine you saying, oh my God, I only have $100 left in my checking account. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden that becomes, you know, I'm poor, I'm bad, I'm not successful, you know, I'm going to be destitute. All these feelings and emotions come up. What if instead you said, oh my gosh, after I paid all my bills, I have $100 left in my bank account. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that's positive, that's uplifting, that's a whole different sense of emotions. The point I want to make is that the $100 in the checking account has no emotion. It's the story that we build around that $100 that causes the emotion, that causes what we experience. And that is within our control, the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories that we make up about our lives. And it's so amazing to look at, and this is part of awareness, is what are the stories you're telling yourself? You know, you're the hero in your own book, in your own novel. What kind of novel are you creating? You know, is it a sad Charles Dickens, or are you in your hero's saga, overcoming things and leading an amazing life? What are the stories that you're telling yourself by the word choices that you're using, whether you say them verbally or say them to yourself? How are you creating your life? And more importantly, being conscious about it, how can you create your life? How do you want to create your life with the word choices that you have? Because it's only our perception, it's only our stories that really determine success, failure, happiness, sadness. It's the stories that we tell.
Yeah, the stories of our lives. I agree. All right, so we talked about work. We talked about type me. Let's talk about work-life balance. So let's say somebody is really into type me. They're transitioning successfully from type A into type me. But they still have a stressful job, and they still want something more out of life. How do they find that balance between both?
Well, the first point is that I don't actually believe in work-life balance.
Okay.
Because I think it sets us up to be black and white. You know, we've got our work person and we've got our home life. You know, we've got what we're responsible for to earn a living, and we've got our personal life. And it splits us. And there's only one type me. There's not the type me at work and the type me at home. You're one person no matter where you are. So the first step to having what we could call work-life balance, or having contentment and less stress, is to bring yourself back together. And the way to do that is to really uncover what you value. Because once you know what you value, then you can start making more conscious choices to honor those values. A lot of the times, the stress we feel between work and life is feeling that we have to or should do one thing, but that we want to do something else. And so whether that's, you know, and I just read a story about the CEO of Pepsi, where she loves her job. She's really, really committed to her work, and she loves it. But her mother is actually giving her guilt and shame for not being a traditional mother. And so she's got the conflict between what she loves to do and what she thinks she has to do. And so I think, you know, whether it's that scenario, or whether we think our work is taken away from our home life, once we can define our values and make choices by those values, and they can be hard. There may be some difficult choices to make, but the more choices we can make based on those values, that's when we're going to start relieving our stress. The stress we're feeling is that right now we're doing what is against our values and what is against what brings us joy.
That's true, because, you know, we're always saying that when you're enjoying what you're doing, it's not work.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. It should be play, as Martha Beck says. It's not work. And yeah. So if there is something that feels stressful, that feels like it's climbing up that mountain and that it's impossible, that's the time to stop and say, number one, do I value this and want to do it? And then number two, is this the only way to accomplish what my goal is, what I'm trying to work towards? Is there something I can do which is much more in alignment with my type me? Kind of going back to the example we gave earlier of, you know, if doing a podcast doesn't resonate with me, maybe I can do a blog. And they both get the message out, but one might fit your type me more than the other.
Very true. Yeah, it's so difficult for people to get to that point of just listening to themselves. And that's meditation, everything, all of the books that I've ever read, everything is leading us towards that same point, is look within yourself for answers. You know, don't listen to somebody else. Don't listen to this book. The only thing in this book that's worthwhile is to guide you to yourself. And people have a hard time with that because we're so used to being programmed, and you and I both come from the marketing background, and that was our job, to program the people into buying whatever we wanted them to buy. And that's probably why both you and I are out of marketing, because we didn't like doing that. But people are so used to that, it's hard for them to get back to, what do I think about this? Forget what everybody else wants. What do I really want out of life? And once you get to that, then you're type me.
Absolutely. And I had, that was one of the things that happened when I was in Peru. I had an amazing experience in at one of the sites that we went to. And I went up to the shaman and said, hey, you know, I just had this experience and with these rocks and it was kind of crazy. What's it all about? And he looked at me and very quietly said, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can say this, I was pissed off. I was like, you know, I came all this way, I spent all this money, and you're asking me what I thought? I came here down here to be healed by you. And it took a while, but it was really an aha moment to me that, you know, I never ask myself. I'm always going to somebody else. What do you think? What are the standards? You know, what do you think I should do? And I was not in the habit of asking myself how I felt, what I wanted, what my perception was, what my thoughts were. I always gave that power to someone else. I always thought somebody else was the expert, that somebody else had the answers. And I love how you said, you know, the books are guides. And it's true. It's from type A to type M is a guide to help you uncover your own answers and to learn to trust yourself, because you're the only one who knows your unique type me. So you're the only one who can uncover it and you're the only one who can live by it. And so learning to trust yourself, learning to listen to yourself, learning to become aware of yourself can really empower you to start making those choices that you know in your heart, your soul, your gut, wherever it comes from for you, that they're right and true for you.
Very true. Parting thoughts as we're wrapping up. And again, I love the idea of your book. I agree with what's written in it. I haven't read it yet, but based on the habits that you're talking about and based on the place where you're coming from, I think it's a wonderful book. So I certainly will look forward to reading it as soon as I get a chance. What are last parting thoughts, you having gone through this experience of being a type A and going into type M, now writing a book on it and you know, helping people with your business coaching and your life coaching? What can you tell our listeners that they can take away and start applying right now?
Well, first of all, you can do it. And not do it like Nike, but you can live it.
See, we're rebranding.
You can live it right now. And it doesn't mean that it will be perfect right now. I think for the type A's out there, it's very scary to make the transition. Because we use the sense of control, we use that sense of power that we think we have to control events and our to-dos and everything around us, we use that to keep ourselves safe. And so letting go of that can be very, very scary. And the book can help you let go of those in a easy, simple pace that you need to let go of those so you can start embracing your truth and not being held back by the to-dos and the stressors that aren't serving you. So that transition can be very difficult. Be patient with yourself. There's no goal line. There's no end line. There's layer after layer to go through. But each time you do, you can get closer and closer to joy, and you will find that enjoyment. So it is worth the journey. I'd like to have like some word of wisdom that I can do here. You know, the one parting thought I would have is watch your words. Just all day tomorrow, listen to the story you're actually telling. You know, when you go to the water cooler in the morning and somebody asks, hey, good morning, how you doing? And you say, oh, you know, traffic was bad and some jerk cut me off and blah, you know, and you go into that, what day are you painting for yourself? Mm-hmm. And take your time. So start with that awareness and then see if closer and closer to the moment the words come out of your mouth, you can change them. So when you start going into your, oh, traffic was bad, see if the next sentence could be, yeah, but you know, my son's baseball game last night was awesome. Mm-hmm. And see how that can start changing your day. One of the reminders I always gave myself was when anybody asked me how I am, I usually answer with fantastic or wonderful, so that it's a reminder to me on how I want to be, and it can help color the way I create my day.
See, this is why you and I get along so well. Because I think when, even the first time that you and I spoke and we asked each other how we are, both of us said something to the effect of perfect, excellent, wonderful, lovely. Or I usually say, I'm lovely. And people look at me like, really? You just said that? Yes, that's the way that I'm feeling about it. So I completely agree. And I certainly want people to do just that. Next time somebody asks them how they are, say the first beautiful word that comes to mind.
Absolutely. And it's for you. It's for you to really start painting that day. How do you want your day to be like? Do you want it to be fantastic? Are you feeling lovely? Then feel that way and start sharing it and see how people react to you too. You can actually shift them and your experience of the people around you by projecting that positivity.
Perfect. Well, Melissa Heisler, thank you so much for coming on. Again, everybody, look out for the book on Amazon, September 15th, From Type A to Type Me, How to Stop Doing Life and Start Living It. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Melissa once again for coming on. And we'll speak to you next week on School of Human Potential Radio.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.